Hello and welcome to edition 204 of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula One podcast recorded right here in Norfolk, UK. Brought to you by our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up for the game by visiting nrf1.uk or gpro.net/nrf1. My name is sports journalist Michael Bailey. I'm definitely not eating that cookie from Richard. And in this podcast, it's so rude eating while you're talking. In this podcast, we are going to preview the 2017 Japanese Grand Prix, round 16 of the 2017 season, with just four more races to go after this. Woof. In this podcast, is it last chance saloon for Seb? Will Alonso confirm his 2018 plans? Will he ever? And has Jolyon Palmer got anything left in his tank? We are here at Argent Towers. Joining us for the pod fun once again are David Tillier and Richard Baxter. How are we, Rich? Good?
I'm good, yeah.
Enjoying your cookie? You got half there?
I am, yeah. It was good. I did a pre-pod Tesco shop, get some dinners sorted for this week, and I saw these cookies. I was like, I've got to do it. So,
what a lovely guy. Note to all the podders, if you want to bring any more biscuits next time, do it. Belgian white chocolate and honeycomb Tesco finest. DT?
They were fine. They were very, very tasty. I definitely approve. Gets the DT seal of approval.
And we should, touch on your culinary approvals, because what did you have for dinner tonight?
I had a bowl of 8 fish fingers.
With sauce?
With sauce.
Which sauce?
I run out of ketchup, because as far as I'm concerned, it's pretty much the only sauce that you should put on fish fingers. Oh. So I had to go for an off-the-wall choice, which was a chili and garlic mayonnaise.
That is particularly off the wall. To be honest, salad cream with fish fingers every time.
Yeah, you've got the sort of vinegary kind of. Yeah, I get that.
Anyway, we'll save the rest of that conversation for our new series of fish finger podcasts. But this is, of course, about Formula One. So glad everyone's all right. This is part two of our three pods in 3 days. Slightly different one, of course, because our review of the Malaysian Grand Prix was the first of the week. That is already with you. It'll be available on your podcast player of choice. And to subscribe to that one and all our previous episodes, you can visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe and find the link you need. If you can't find it, any issues, email us, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. You can email us anything you want. We love reading them. So Japan, championship crunch. We're not quite there yet, are we? Because this is five. We've got five more races to go, which is actually quite a lot and quite a lot of points. But still, feels really important with this the complete lack of momentum that Ferrari have at the moment. This is pivotal, isn't it? Now we're on the brink of either having a championship battle that prolongs this a little bit longer, or is just ended.
Well, yeah, it was the circuit where championships were won in the past. That was the final race of the season, not too far in the distant past. But
13 championships have been decided there over the 30-odd championships that have been at the circuit. So yeah,
that's a good amount, a good third. But yeah, it's a good circuit. It's interesting. Not always the best for overtaking because it's quite narrow, but. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, especially with Ferrari, because they need to pull something out. And we've known Vettel can go well at this circuit in the past. He always seems to like the circuits across Asia, but not the last two.
No, quite. And, I mean, Ferrari were fourth and fifth, I think, last year around here. Do they need to up their pace? Because we didn't really see what their pace was in Malaysia, did we, in the end? Well, I suppose from Seb, we did.
I personally think, Raikkonen aside, I think they very much showed their pace. I mean, the fact that he was 20 seconds ahead of Bottas. And I know Bottas having his own problems, but 20 seconds, given he started at the back of the grid, that shows a fast car that can overtake and has got some pace in it. And he could have done even better had a bit more tyre life left in him. So I think it's a Ferrari. It's Ferrari's race to lose, I think, more than anything else. So I think if they can go into the weekend and not have the kind of troubles that they've had, that's been plaguing them over the course of the Malaysian Grand Prix, then I think they'll be a strong contender for the win.
So, where do Mercedes and Red Bull fit into that for you? Do you think, DT?
Mixed bag. I think they're going to take points off each other. So I think Mercedes are going to have the quicker car out of the two, but I think there's going to be a Red Bull in there to mix things up. That's my guesstimate. I think Red Bull are going to be strong again, but I think the power because it's a fairly good power circuit, I think, Suzuka. So I think the power of the Mercedes will just have the edge, but I don't think they'll completely spoil Red Bull's day.
Yeah, I mean, looking at an image of the circuit, the map of the circuit, and the three sectors, I think each team, Red Bull, Mercedes, and Ferrari, have got a different sector they can be strong in. Because if you look at sector one, we've got the S's. Red Bull through there, with the grip that they should have from the aero, they should be incredible through there. Of course, sector three, you've got the long straights, which you would think would suit the power of the Mercedes engine, as long as they get it going nicely. Sector two, you would expect Ferrari, just because it's the only one left.
Well, they've got probably the car in between the two, I suppose, haven't they? That's got a better balance between all three, but. It's a great track, this. I love it. I'm going to get myself on the game, I think. Have you played F1 2017? Anyone played it yet?
I really want to have a go. I haven't got... The thing is, they're just about to release the new Forza game as well, so it's kind of like, which one do I get? So I think I'm going to wait for 2017 to come down in price a bit, and then I'll see if it ends up in my stocking.
Well, hopefully we're going to all head round to Melissa's and play on it. That's the plan. We're going to have some... I don't know if we'll warn Melissa or just turn up, but it would be good to have a battle, bearing in mind I'd rather be on easy level because I've never played on it like properly, not in years.
But I think we should have a little like a battle royale of podsters to see who's the fastest in the digital world.
We can film it. It'll be awesome. Most successful driver around Japan?
I'd guess Michael Schumacher.
You guessed correctly. Well done. Six victories. Who's got four behind him?
Vettel.
Correct. Well done. Who's got three behind him?
Alonso.
No.
Hamilton.
Lewis Hamilton. And then there's a whole plethora of people who won the race twice. Who can name them? People who've won it twice? Say some names.
Rosberg.
No.
Barrichello.
No.
Fisichella.
No.
Your man.
Yes.
Damon.
Yes.
Oh, of course, I know you. Oh,
Damon. Ayrton.
Who could forget?
Motoharu Kurosawa.
Yes.
Well said. Well said, DC. Gerhard Berger, Ayrton Senna, Mika Hakkinen, and Fernando Alonso. They're the guys. Japanese success. Should we just touch on Pierre Gasly? Did what he did. I think we always have high hope. A lot of people predicted that Gasly would score points on his debut, so I think lots of people want to see something impressive from drivers when they get in a Formula One car. But I guess he had such short notice, didn't he, of getting in the car, and he hadn't driven it before much at all. So actually, what he did was impressive in that regard. This will be a little bit longer in the car and another go, and I guess what everyone wants to see is if he can get that bit closer to Carlos Sainz.
Yeah, I mean, I think he had a good weekend in Malaysia, gets him introduced to the car, and he seemed to be fairly settled straight away. There wasn't any glaring errors that you saw. So, I mean, hopefully if he carries on the sim during the week or something, if there's time.
F1 2017.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm hoping for him he does well, because it's always nice to see the young drivers come through. It'd be a shame to lose Kvyat from the grid, because he's still a young driver. I think he just needs to pick up his pace and have a new refreshing season, really.
I won't miss him.
It's a miserable git as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, what they said was that it would be for two races, didn't they, Pierre Gasly stepping in, and then they're going to review it. I guess a lot of this, well, a lot of what happens next will be riding on how Pierre Gasly does, or is it just most likely that they'll just carry on, and they've just only said it's for two races for now?
Well, I think we've seen that Red Bull can be quite brutal when it comes to driver choices, and actually I say fair enough, especially with Toro Rosso, because that's their feeder team. That team is not there to win championships, they're there to get points and to develop drivers, and if you don't cut the mustard, then you're going to be out on your ass.
Do you think they could bring in someone else then,
like another one?
Well,
it's like X Factor.
I mean, that's what Toro Rosso, to me, for years has always been. That's been the developing team. You bring in your new drivers, and Red Bull Racing has the people that have been around a bit and have got the experience underneath the belt, have got the speed, and you bring in these new, fast, exciting drivers, and some of them stick around, some of them don't. Some of them end up in other teams, but ultimately, at least they've been given a chance. Whereas lately, it seems like the people at Toro Rosso have been sticking around a little bit longer than is traditional, and obviously with Sainz are on the move. That's a seat that's empty. And I personally don't think Kvyat's done enough to warrant keeping him for next season, to be perfectly honest with you. Might be a little bit unfair maybe to chuck him out before the end of the season, but I don't think he definitely hasn't done enough to keep that seat.
Yeah, I mean, this season hasn't been great for him at all. I think he has shown in the past that he is a quick guy. I mean, you don't really lose the speed in your early 20s, which he still is, which seems to have been around for a long time.
I mean, he's still pretty young, that's the thing. Yeah. And I guess this is his second chance, really, isn't it, because of what happened at Red Bull, which still was pretty unfortunate given, it probably relied so much on Max Verstappen being around, but also just a bit of misfortune in one race that kind of ended it. But then how many drivers are unfortunate in that they don't even get to make it that far? They don't have the backing. So likewise, he's done quite well to be where he is.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, who else have Red Bull got? Because obviously Gasly's been around, mentioned for a little while now. Is there anyone else they've got ready to step up into Formula One? Because I can't really think of any names jumping into my head.
No, I don't know, because people are tied up, really, aren't they? Lando Norris is McLaren, I think, isn't he? Is that where he's being lined up with? Yeah. And then we've got Leclerc and... with Ferrari, someone else, George Russell, obviously, with Mercedes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know a great deal about a lot of the feeder drivers at the moment because I haven't really seen or heard much talk of them of late. But the one point I was going to make about Kvyat as well is that, you look at the drivers that have come in over the last couple of seasons and look at the performances that they're putting in. And yes, there's been some controversies like with Ocon and Perez, but you can't deny the pace and the ability to score points. And I think Kvyat is too much of an unsafe bet. You know, he might turn up one day and be really good, but the next day you just don't know, and teams don't want that. If I was the team boss at Toro Rosso, I wouldn't want him in that seat, because I wouldn't be able to put my faith in him race after race after race, because he's had his second chance and he hasn't demonstrated that he deserves that trust. So I think personally they should start afresh. They're not fighting for the midfield in the same way they have been doing, so why not?
Spot on, DT. And if anyone, apologies for the shortage of knowledge, but if anyone out there does know of some feeder drivers who are going to be coming through, let us know, get in touch, tell us, and we'll get your voice on the podcast over the coming episodes. One other thing I did want to touch on, which isn't really to do with the race in Japan necessarily, but a story to do with Renault. Marcin Budkowski, who is an aerodynamicist, who's been working with the FIA and working on what they're going to do in terms of regulations years into the future, as well as what's coming up now. And he knows things with the FIA that they haven't told any of the teams. He's leaving to go and work for Renault, and he's got a 3-month gardening period to serve, which isn't very long. And I think a lot of the other teams are a little bit worried that Renault are suddenly going to know all the inside secrets. I mean, there's a curious thing for me. Gardening leave is really a load of b***s, isn't it? Because if someone's on gardening leave, what's to stop them ringing up, having conference calls? And I know there's a spirit to it all, but ultimately, someone's probably going to help themselves if they've got a job coming up with their new employers, blah, 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 and they'll want to be a part of it. But likewise, this does seem quite an issue for Formula One and FIA and presumably mostly Liberty Media, who do have this kind of regulatory insight now, that they need to produce something that's going to help ease the situation and not piss everyone off.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation when you've got people going from one place to another with potentially, quite a lot of insider knowledge from the place that they've just left. And like you say, I'm sure there is a gentleman's agreement, and it happens all the time, but we've seen in the past that it can create quite a lot of controversy between teams and between different organisations. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Definitely
the lawyers are rubbing their hands already.
Yeah, you've always seen in the past there's been various stories and fallouts from people moving teams and giving secrets away, and to be honest, it is adds to the excitement of Formula One, because it's obviously, it's very political. There's always things going on in the background. It's going to be interesting to see, if Renault do suddenly gain an advantage, or Mercedes, Ferrari going to turn around and say, wait a second, that's because, this guy's given information. Is there going to be investigations? So it could be quite interesting to see what happens, for definite.
Right, we always like to ask this question. Most important weekend for? I know we've touched on a lot of issues and things and what have you, but who is this, the most important race weekend for? At this time of the season, it's normally quite obvious, but...
I think you have to say Vettel, just because he's 34 points behind Hamilton now. He needs to get back to winning ways if he's going to get this championship going. It's a circuit he's done well at before, so he needs to, you know, pull something out here.
Yeah, so that I don't say exactly the same thing as Rich, I'm going to say Hamilton instead, because I was going to say Vettel. But I think it's important for Hamilton because it's going to be a tightly contested race, I think. And he is in a very, very strong position at the moment. But one simple slip up and that very, very strong position can go to a not quite so strong position. So I think it's an important weekend for him to either stretch his lead or at the very least minimise the damage to his lead.
Well, why not say Pierre Gasly, because this could be the last time he races in a car, who knows. Jolyon Palmer, any more performances like he'd put in at Malaysia, and that negotiating of his contract will be quite strict.
He's done, isn't he? It can't be a big weekend for someone we're not going to see for another season. So.
Bless him.
I do like Jolyon.
That's the thing. I hate being rude about him. It is the case, I think.
You just be rude away. Be rude away, DT. In terms of the Constructors' Championship, what's the gap there? Because I was half thinking, is that close to being done now? Because Mercedes no doubt picked up another fair few points and the gap must be absolutely huge now.
Mercedes are 503, Ferrari are 385, so 128 points difference.
We've got five races left.
Yeah.
Five races left, so there's still a lot to play for. So I think title talks are a good at least two more races away before we can start thinking about those realistically, I think. Unless Ferrari have another mare of a weekend.
Looking at the gap, unless Mercedes suddenly, I think, pick up two double DNFs or two, you know, outside points finishes for both cars, it's looking it's going their way.
Mercedes will win the Constructors' Championship. Well, they're sitting on the fence, they'll definitely win it. But they won't win it this weekend, at least we know that much.
We say that, and Red Bull are 270, so they're only 115 behind Ferrari.
Well, that's an interesting point then, because if Ferrari keep f***ing up or things keep letting them down, it'll be interesting how Red Bull deal with the weekend at Suzuka, because they're in a pretty nice run of it. So we'll see how they get on. Right, I think we're done then. Let me advertise the social media channels. You know what they are: Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at the NRF1. We'll take you to our pages. We'll have lots of chances for you to interact, subscribe, support us and sign up over the remainder of the season. Blogs, betting tips, everything you need to know, you'll find at our website, nrf1.uk, and get in touch via email, which of course we love reading, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. On its way next is the Prediction League update. Oh yeah. But for now, it's a very goodbye from our guests, from DT.
Adios.
And from Rich.
Bye.
And from me. Bye. Thanks to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up to the game at gpro.net/nrf1. This has been the NRF1 podcast, the third of our three pods in 3 days. We'll be with you next as we predict all the Suzuka as we predict all
please leave this in.
Who wrote it? Anyway, the third of our three pods in 3 days will be with you next as we predict all the Suzuka shenanigans.
Hey.
Until then, goodbye.